Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. One of the deepest longings in our heart is the longing for true intimacy. We have had that longing put in our hearts by God, and yet many times we go looking in the wrong places to find intimacy, and it turns out to be false intimacy. And I want to encourage you tonight that there is such a thing as true intimacy, and that it really can be found. And it can be found ultimately in God. God calls us right now, today, I believe, to come to Him for true intimacy. And I believe He also tells us, don't settle for anything less. If you're longing for true intimacy in your life, I hope you'll stay with me for this broadcast of Live from the Ranch so that we can look at some of the things that God has said about true intimacy. And I'll also share just a few examples from real life about how God can meet the intimate needs of our life, and He can bring that intimacy in our relationships with others as well, if we'll take some steps and follow His path towards true intimacy. On your screen, you'll see some message notes where you can follow along with me on the outline and a few verses of Scripture. And I'd like you to take a look at those right now. And just look at the first two verses. There's a couple verses that I'd just like you to read about what it means to have eternal life, what it means to really be intimate. These verses don't use the word intimate, but I'll explain in a little while why I've chosen these verses. And if you would just read those and just ask God to pour into your heart what it means to have true intimacy, and I believe He will bless you tonight. Let me just play a little bit on the piano, and if you will just read those and just say a prayer to God and say, God, speak to me through these words today. A friend of mine has said that the word intimacy really means into me see, meaning that you can allow someone else to see into you. And when they allow you to see into them as well, you've actually created intimacy. You've been able to see the very private and personal things that go on in that person's life. And that's what creates what we call intimacy. Here's a definition from Webster's Dictionary about intimacy and what intimacy really is about. I think if you hear this, you'll see why so many people long for this. To be intimate is belonging to or characterizing one's deepest nature, marked by very close association, contact, or familiarity, marked by a warm friendship developing through long association, or suggesting informal warmth or privacy, or of a very personal or private nature. See, to be intimate with someone is a very private, very deep thing, that we're able to get to know someone very deeply, and they're able to know us very deeply. And some people very much long for this, and in the absence of it, they look for it in other places, and they're unable to find it because it doesn't last. It doesn't satisfy as they see intimate things going on in other places. Things like looking at pornography or looking at the television and watching relationships on TV that are just artificial relationships, and yet we get engrossed with them as if they're really real people, really interacting with each other and really having these intimate times, and we sort of live surreptitiously through them. We live our lives watching them, and we get in touch with some kind of intimate feelings within ourselves just by watching that. And yet God has a much deeper and much longer lasting intimacy in mind for us. And it starts really with a relationship with God. Those verses that are on your screen are very telling about the ultimate intimacy, and that is intimacy with God. Here's what Jesus says about what eternal life is, or when we spend eternity with God, this is what it will involve. In John 17:3, he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, knowing God isn't just a one-time thing where you just say, okay, I know God, I've heard the name of God, and I know God. You don't really get to know God until you spend time with God, until you get to know all about God. And you know, there is so much to get to know about God that I believe that's part of the reason why he's going to give us eternity to be with him. When we put our faith in Jesus, we can come and be with him in heaven and be there forever. And we will be there forever probably because it will take that long to get to know all of God. I know here on this earth, as I read through the Bible and I get to know a little bit about God and a little bit more about God and a little bit more, I am just so much in awe of God and all that he's done and all that he's created and all that he's done for me. And then I read more and I find out more and I keep finding out more and more and more about God. And that knowing, that understanding of who God is just brings me a great joy. And you know what? God gets to do the same thing for us. And he gets to know us and understand us and find out all about us. And his knowing of us and our knowing of him is what that relationship is all about. Here's where Paul talks about that relationship in Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. He says, What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. There are two key passages in there. One is that Paul says everything is rubbish compared to what? To knowing Christ. And then he also not just wants to know Christ, but he wants to be found in him. He wants to be known by Christ as well. And he wants that relationship more than he wants anything else. There are songs that say, I want Jesus more than silver and gold. I want Jesus more than the applause of men. I want Jesus more than riches untold. There is a satisfaction that comes from knowing Jesus that unless you've met Jesus, unless you've started to experience that, you will never know. You'll never understand how God can fulfill that longing of your heart. And yet, I assure you, he can. It's a very real relationship with a very real God who very much really exists and cares about you and loves you. And you may have been a believer for years, and this is just going to hit you tonight in a special way where you can say, wow, I really do believe it. Even today, I still believe it. Even today, I know that God loves me, and he wants to know me, and I want to know him. This is what living is about. This is what the abundant life is about. Paul has had all kinds of other things happen to him in his life, but he says, anything that I've had of greatness, I consider a loss compared to knowing Christ. You know, I had a conversation on the internet with a man who was researching internet pornography. And he was not a Christian. He was just looking into it from a business perspective and what was making pornography work. And he thought that some people were very much interested in the higher nature of pornography, meaning not just the raw graphics of the sex on the screen, but actually interested in the stories and the interplay of people with other people and just that whole, what they call erotica, more just descriptive relationships that some of the websites talk about. And he was saying that pornographers are moving towards that. And I was asking him about that and his perspective of that. And he was saying that he thinks part of that is just the thrill of doing something that's sort of on the border of what's accepted by society. And that there's a thrill in doing something that's sort of taboo compared to what society thinks is right to do. But I replied back, and what I believe in my heart is that the reason that is so drawing and so appealing to people is that they're really searching for intimacy. They're not searching for something that's taboo. They're searching for something that's very real and very valid, and that is an intimate relationship with someone else. But you know, that's just a false intimacy, what they're getting there. And Jesus Christ offers a true and real living intimacy. But many people don't get to that intimacy, even with Christ, but even in their relationships with others, because there's a lot of risk involved in intimacy. There's a lot of risk in self-disclosure, in telling about yourself to someone else, in letting someone get close enough to really know you, warts and all. And yet, I've heard from people who have shared things openly and honestly, such as with their spouse, and they've said, wow, my spouse still loved me in spite of everything I shared. And they've had a greater connection. The same thing goes for people who have shared with God honestly what's going on in their lives. And God says, I still love you, even while you're a sinner. I love you. And then they experience the love and the grace of God like they've never experienced before. It's when we're able to be risky and to share openly and honestly with others that we can experience the greatest intimacy. And yet you understand, and I understand, why that sharing is so difficult. And certainly there are times that we're not to share those intimate things of our life with others. There's a verse in the Bible that says, do not cast your pearls before pigs, lest they turn on you and trample you. And we don't want to cast our pearls, our very intimate parts, with others. This is why we don't want to be involved sexually with someone other than our wife, because we're giving our pearls away to someone else and we're going to be turned and trampled on. We don't want to be in illicit chat rooms and talking to people and telling them deep things about our life and starting these illicit relationships when they really don't know anything else about us. They don't know our whole life. They don't really care to take time to get to know us. And they may turn on us and trample us and just walk on us like pigs would. So there's a very real caution in being just open and self-disclosing with everyone. But God has ordained two relationships especially where he wants us to be fully intimate. One is with him. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. God wants us to be very intimate with him, to love him with everything we've got. And then two, God wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the closest neighbor with whom we can share those very private things is a spouse. And maybe you don't have a spouse, maybe you've not married yet, or you've lost a spouse, or you've been married and divorced once or twice or several times, and you don't have a spouse to share some of those intimate things with. God still says that you can be intimate with him. And that, as Paul said, who we don't know if Paul was married or not married, but at least he was single during the time that he was writing the scriptures, and he said that anything he's ever known he considers rubbish compared to knowing Christ. So even in our relationships with others, it really comes back to our relationship with God that the real intimacy takes place. And out of that, we can be intimate with others. Now, as I mentioned, there are some risks with intimacy. But I want to talk about a few steps towards overcoming those risks. Because there are two things, especially, that we can do to maintain and to deepen our intimacy with God and with others. The first is to spend time with the person that you want to be intimate with. It's very difficult to be intimate with someone that you don't know. People try it all the time, and on a first date, they'll make love and they'll be fully intimate, and yet they're really not experiencing true intimacy, because they don't know anything about the person, anything about their background, their family, their desires, their dreams, their failings and their longings. When we spend time with someone, though, when we understand who they are, what they're about, and they understand us, and we move further and further along the line of intimacy in that path, then we can experience true intimacy. Here's what David said about spending time with God and what he wanted to do in his own personal relationship with God. In Psalm 27, starting in verse 4, he says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. In verse 8 he says, my heart says to you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. David longed more than anything just to spend time with God. He just wanted to be in the courts of God and just enjoy his fellowship forever. And you know, that's what God has done for us through Christ, that we will have eternity with God when we put our faith in Christ, when we believe that he died for our sins. If you're a believer, this should be a great comfort to you, as it is to me, that one day we're going to be face to face with God, and we're going to spend all our days with him, getting to know him. David said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek." Just like Paul, David said, there's one thing that surpasses anything else, and that's to be with God, to spend time with him, to seek his face, to know him, to love him. God wants that for us as well. He wants to spend time with us, to seek us out, to get to know us, to talk to us. So spending time with someone is very critical in developing true intimacy, whether it's with God or whether it's with a spouse or with a friend. We need to spend time with a person to really know them and really understand them and to love them. The second thing is to be honest. To be honest with someone is a form of intimacy. There's a Psalm 27, verse 26, I'm sorry, a Proverb 24, verse 26, that says, "An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips." An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Not just like a kiss. We're talking a kiss on the lips. That's what an honest answer is. When you can be honest with someone, that is so sweet and so beautiful and so intimate. It's very hard for us to be honest sometimes with our feelings, honest with what's going on inside our head, because we're afraid that someone might reject us. We're afraid that we might reject them by what we say. And yet the only way to press on in intimacy is to really be honest with someone, to talk about your feelings, to talk about what's going on in your life. This applies to God as well. We need to be honest with God. We need to say, "God, this is what I'm feeling today. I'm not very happy with you today. I'm not believing in you very much today. I'm not very pleased with what you're doing in my life." David did that throughout the Psalms. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Coming to God and saying, "Honestly, this is what I feel. I don't like it. I don't like what's going on. I don't like being chased around in caves. I don't like being attacked. You've said you're going to do these things for me and you haven't done them yet. God, where are you? What's going on?" But you see, where David was going was straight to God. Instead of running away from God, he said, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you." He kept coming to God and saying, "God, what is going on?" Job did the same thing. Instead of turning away from God, Job turned towards God and said, "God, what is going on? Why is my family dying? Why is my business failing? Why is everything being destroyed around me? What have I done, God?" And God eventually answers Job, and God eventually answers Paul. He eventually answers David. Even Christ on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And God eventually answers Christ and set Christ at the right hand up in the throne room in heaven. See, God will answer those desires of your heart. He will answer your honest questions, your honest inquiries. He doesn't mind when you're honest with him. Even when you tell him, "God, I have sinned in this area," God knows that already. But when you're honest with him, when you confess to him and say, "God, I am so sorry for what I've done," God can forgive you and he can show you love, and then you can experience his grace and mercy and love like nothing else. So I encourage you to be honest with God. I encourage you to be honest with others around you that you're trying to be closer to. It may be hard, it may be extremely difficult, but the honesty and the spending time with someone else will develop an intimacy that will be long-lasting and that will show you that there really is such a thing as true intimacy. Now, my third and final point is just what I felt God said to me today. As I was preparing this message and thinking what God wants to speak to people, I really felt like God was saying, "Come to me for true intimacy. Don't settle for anything less." So this third point is, don't settle for anything less. You may be wanting to look in other places for intimacy. I want to encourage you, come back to God. Don't look in those other places. You're not going to find it. You may get a temporary thrill, a temporary sensation of intimacy, and yet it won't be lasting. It will be unfulfilling. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. If you've experienced this before, you know what I'm talking about. God continues to say, come back to me for true intimacy, and I will pour it out on you. God would love to do that, and I'm going to pray tonight that he will do that. If you would like to just pray for a minute, I want to just worship the Lord and just, like David did, spend some time coming into his presence. One of the best ways we can do that is to just worship him. And one man, he said, you know, I don't understand this praise and worship. I don't get why you have to praise God, why you worship God. And really, for me, I worship God because I just really love to. It's one of the most intimate times I can spend. There are times when I'm intimate with my wife in a sexual way where it's just off the charts and you just say, wow, this is incredible just to be with another person, so close and personal. Well, worship is that way for me with God. There are times in worship that I can get totally lost in worship and just God can just lift me up and just take me out of whatever is going on in my life as I just come to him and just shut off my mind to everything else and say, God, I want to be fully and totally devoted to you. So I want to just sing a couple songs and maybe you can join me in singing where you are and maybe you can just have a private time of worship with God right now. This first song you may or may not know, but it's very simple. And you just say Alleluia, which means praise to God. You just say Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. And as you just say that to God over and over and sing that to God, just ask God and just say, God, I just want to know you, and I want you to know me. Take joy, my King, in what you hear.
May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Pray that God would be with you. Lord, I know that many people watching just long for this true intimacy that we're talking about today. And God, I know that you long to pour it out on each one of us. God, I just pray that you would help us all. Help us to focus on you. Help us to come to you and not to go anywhere else, Lord, for the intimacy that we desire. God, help us to focus our earthly relationships on those that are long-lasting, a spouse, a close friend. Lord, help us be intimate only within the parameters that you've defined us to be intimate, Lord. God, I know that you're a very jealous God and that you don't want us to fall in love with idols. You don't want us to be going astray when you want us to come to you. God, I know that you want us to let the wife of our youth satisfy us and not to break covenant with them. God, I pray for those who are tempted to do that. I pray for those who are tempted to stray from the parameters that you've put up, Lord, for their protection and for their joy. I pray, God, that you would draw us closer to you. God, I pray for those who have tasted your intimacy but have lost it, that you would rekindle that in their hearts and let them know that it is available and it is possible and that that can be recaptured, Lord, as they come to you in praise and worship, in prayer, in spending time with you, in being honest with you. Lord, I pray you'd honor their prayers. I pray you'd honor their honesty. I pray you would walk them through valleys they're going through, trials they're going through, temptations they're going through. Lord, I pray you'd keep them on the straight and narrow. And God, for anyone who's never made a commitment to you, I pray right now that they would be willing to trust you with their very soul, with their very life, that they could know if they put their faith in Jesus Christ, that they can live forever and have their sins forgiven and wiped away. God, I pray that they would do that even right now, even as we continue praying. I pray that they would be willing, Lord, just to put their faith in you and say, I want to follow God all the days of my life. Lord, I pray we would all be like David, and that we would be able to come to you and say, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Lord, I pray we'd be able to be like Paul and say, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and being known by him. Lord, I pray we would be like Jesus wanted us to be, that we would know eternal life, knowing that that means to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts with those desires, and you would fill those longings that we so want filled. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know that several of you also want intimacy from someone here on the earth. God has placed other people in our lives so that we can be intimate with them and share with them, sharing each other's burdens and encouraging one another. God has called me to do that very thing as well. And if I can encourage you that God is real, God is alive, God is active, I pray that you would talk to me either in the chat room after the live broadcast at the ranch, or throughout the week you can send me an ICQ message and I'd be glad to join you in the chat room. Or if you want to just email me and say, I just really need some prayer right now. I need to talk. I want to be honest with someone and let them know what's going on so that I can get over whatever it is that's going on in my life. We all go through it. I go through it. My wife goes through it. Everyone that I know has gone through times when they just really need a friend to talk to and someone to walk them through it. And I just pray that you would open up to someone around you and also open up to God and let God just pour out those things to you in your life. I hope that this has been a blessing to you, and I hope that you'll look around the ranch a little bit more, and I also hope that you'll come back and join me for another message live from the ranch. Good night.